your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed that first extended segment with Adrian Day, talking more about the macro outlook, especially when it comes to the Fed. In the next two segments, we are joined by Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. We like bringing Doc on more at the end of the month to recap some of the monthly moves, and Doc gives us an update on where he sees the markets going. We are going to touch on gold, but we're also going to touch on a few of the other precious metals, as well as commodities and U.S. markets. So let's get right into it, Doc, starting with gold. Gold down about 3.5% this month. However, gold did close above 1900 on the futures and the spot market. So a monthly close above 1900, some people find that encouraging. And quite frankly, the drop that we saw this month doesn't look devastating by any means on the chart. 1900 is still quite a good price level for gold. What's your outlook for gold now that we did just have a down month?
Well, the positive for gold is that we have left some gaps to the upside on some of these charts, which is, it tells you that we're going to be back up there someday, and the question is when. One of the negatives is we've taken out the 50-day moving average to the downside, and we've had closes below that now, so that's a negative. When you look at the weekly chart, the weekly chart on gold also looks like it's ready to turn over. I think next week could be a little bit of a negative for gold, and then we'll see what happens after that. But the charts I love are always the monthly charts, because those are the ones that, as we've talked about before, get rid of the noise, and it shows what is most likely going to be the trend. We are in a trading range now, according to the monthly chart. And if we had closed above last month, this month, I think May could have been a horrendous month, because that would have been three higher closes in a row. And but we're closing lower. The question is then what happens in May? And we could keep challenging the upper Bollinger Band, but now the Bollinger Bands are starting to tighten, which is very interesting, and they could tighten further. And on the MACD, what was encouraging for the last 2 months is that the 12-month has actually superimposed on the 26-month moving average. And that's always a positive from the standpoint of, are we getting into a situation where we're bottoming? And so May is going to really hold a picture for us as far as that's concerned, whether that 12-month moves back off that 26-month moving average or not. And the strength indicators are still pretty good for gold since they haven't sold off steeply. In fact, they've moved back up, which is also a positive. And that's moved down slowly over time, and we've talked about that. And that is really the strength indicators show the underpinning strength to the gold market. But having said that, there's one thing I'm really concerned about, is when you look at long-term charts, like the monthly charts, and I've looked at them for a long time, is you often, when you see a pattern like this on the monthly charts where the Bollinger Bands have turned sideways along with the 20-month moving average, in fact, that's even moved down a little bit. One thing that bothers me is that I said this months ago that often you see at least pricing of an asset class when you see a picture like this often has to challenge the lower Bollinger Band at least once. And it hasn't done that. Also, it hasn't challenged the 50-month moving averages, which have a little ways to go. So this bothers me a little bit, the fact that pricing hasn't impinged the lower Bollinger Band, which if gold continues to move down here over the next few months, it's going to probably impinge it right around the low 1700s. And that's the most worrisome thing, I think, about these charts.
Well, Doc, I'm sure that some listeners may not like to hear that gold could potentially head back to the low 1700s, but I understand the rationale behind what you're saying, that you think it needs to go back and test on the monthly that lower Bollinger band. My question would be, why does it have to in a bull market? I know that we've been correcting for, you know, since August of 2020, but one could also argue we were just at 2050 back in March. So it's not like it fell out of bed and went down into the 1600s or 1500s. It actually got close to an all-time high, and then it actually hit 2000 again a week or two ago. So it's still bouncing up around that top level. Is there any way that it could avoid having to go down and test that lower Bollinger band in the low 1700s?
It would have to break that upper Bollinger band, and we would need 2 or 3 months of where we stayed above that. And we just can't seem to close above it. We've moved above it in pricing, and I'm surprised actually it did. And some would say it's due to Ukraine, because I've said in the past, I don't think we're going to challenge those upper levels any earlier than and resume this bull market any earlier than 2023. And it looked like it was going to, but it just couldn't sustain it, and it closed below that upper Bollinger band. We would have to see some months that would close above that to really get excited about the fact that we're starting the next leg to the bull market, and that's what I would look for.
All right, Doc, let's move on to the gold stocks then. I'm looking at GDX here, and GDX down about 7.75%. This month, the gold stocks, at least the majors, seem like they were doing pretty well. Underlying juniors, mid-tiers, development companies, those have continued to struggle. And I think pretty disappointingly, some of those juniors are back to levels pre-pandemic, which seems kind of unbelievable when you consider where the gold price has been. But these juniors continue to take it on the chin. What are you watching in terms of that gold stock sector broadly?
Well, once again, we have some nice gaps that we're going to have to fill to the upside someday. Who knows when that's going to be. But what I would really like to see here is to see in May one more just ugly sell-off in these juniors. And then I think we'd be through it. But then the problem is if we do that, it's not like we're going to just take off or a V-shaped recovery like we saw in March of 2020. We're most likely going to have to consolidate and build a base on these things for a while. I think that's what we're going to see in this sector in the future. But once again, it was discouraging to see the GDXJ sell off. And if you look at the last peak it was trying to hit, the last peak was back in June, in about June of 2021, when it was at about 54.76. We got up to 51.92. So we had another lower high. And so that tells you that there's still weakness in this sector, and that there still probably will be going forward for a while.
Well, Doc, a lot of people are thinking that we need to see the metals prices break out to get any true traction and get some generalist investors coming in, which would fuel the miners higher, and that it takes a while for that to filter down from the largest producers and royalty companies down into those mid-tiers and juniors. You sometimes look at some different bellwether stocks, though. We've talked about Newmont in the past. We talked about Hecla. Just before this call, you mentioned you were watching Coeur. Are there any bellwether stocks that you're looking for that you think would signal a sea change in the whole sector?
Well, I would like to see Coeur get down to about two, maybe the upper twos, because if it does, I think the worst is over then at that point. And that's why I like watching Coeur right now, because and it's moving down toward that. Get a little recovery, I think we did today, but I think we're the next 4 weeks or so, we may move down to that 2 to 3 level that I'm talking about. But that's one of the ones I'm really watching. Yeah, and Hecla is another good one right now. But the problem with Hecla right here is it's moving down again. And if you look at the weekly chart on Hecla, it looks like we're headed down below 5 again. But the chart that bothers me on Hecla is the monthly chart. When you look at the MACD, we're still in positive territory, but we're working our way down. And if we continue to do that with Hecla, we could be in this moved down yet for 6 months based on the monthly chart. So that's not very encouraging. But I look at these other charts to give me a semblance of what gold and silver are going to do, because Hecla is a solid company. And but it still has not even worked its way down to a zero point on the MACD, which it looks like it's going to do. And so that tells me that we're going to be in this for a while yet as far as the precious metals.
Doc, what about silver too? Because silver, it was outperforming gold for a while there. Even the silver stocks started to do pretty well, but silver never had that type of breakout, or at least close to breakout, that gold did when gold moved over 2,000 again. Just recently, silver very much stuck in the middle of the range and most recently topped out at about $2,750 and is now right around, let's say, $23 to end this month. Silver just can't seem to get out of its way and has been trading in this range ever since mid-2020. What's your outlook for silver?
Well, I think there's real good odds that 22 on silver again, or 22 to 2250. I said that on the site the other day. And sure enough, it looks like we're heading down to it. And the thing with silver is it tells you that even though there's underpinning strength to gold, that the precious metal sector is really struggling, because if it really was ready to take off, silver should react, I think, better than it is as it relates to gold. But it's acting poorer, frankly. And silver really worries me. But I'll tell you what, there's going to be some really good buys in silver stocks with this move down. Every time silver moves down, those stocks, a lot of them get even weaker. And there's some really good companies in the sectors. And I've been watching those because I want to take initial positions at them at nice low prices. And I think we're going to get that opportunity.
Well, Doc, typically silver will lag the moves in gold. And when gold starts taking off, it comes like a dark horse from behind and then shoots past gold and outperforms it. And we did start seeing that just a little bit, but it was short-lived. And as Corey pointed out, it cratered back down again. Even at 22, it'd still be in that range it's been stuck in for almost over a year now, between $22 and $28. It just can't seem to get out of that range. I would be worried if it broke below that 21.41 that we saw, that intraday low. That was hit a couple of times over the last year. Do you see any potential of it breaking below there? Or do you think that it's just going to hit that 22 and then kind of hover there and wait for gold to take off to finally get its acting gear?
Well, yeah, and X, that's what I worry about too, because what I don't like is what I said before about gold possibly getting down to the lower 1700s. And I say that possibly because, once again, it hasn't even challenged that lower Bollinger Band. And if that's the case, and if silver is still performing like it is relative to gold, we might not like to see that happen, because silver then could get down to as low as $20. And the MACD on the monthly charts on silver are showing that it is going lower. So is the strength indicators that next month we could see a lower silver price again. But if we move down into the 1700s in gold, that's not going to be very promising for silver, frankly.
One thing we have to consider here, Doc, is down as we've just talked about for gold, gold stocks, and silver, we look to the U.S. markets and the S&P, that's down a little over 7% just this month. Broadly, we are seeing weakness in general markets, and the NASDAQ, that's down 11.5% this month. So, hey, look, precious metals are doing bad, but so are the conventional markets. Let's talk about the U.S. equity markets. What is your outlook for these markets that have been weak all year so far?
Look for more weakness, Corey.
Weakness across the board, hey, Doc?
Yeah, you're not going to want to be in this conventional market, I don't think, the next 2 months. I said back in December that I felt this was going to be a bad year for the conventional markets, and it's playing out. And I mentioned how, watch January, because January often is your precursor. Sure enough, January was not very nice to the markets. And now we're sitting, when you look at the S&P, we're sitting right now at the 400 exponential moving average. We moved off of that back in March. And now we're right back to it. But I'll give you a dollar to donuts that next month we're going to take that out. And once we take it out, we're going to have a real problem in those markets. And we're going to start the next leg down. And I think that's almost a foregone conclusion. I would be very surprised if we don't see some real ugliness in May. And that's also going to not be a positive for the precious metals. They seem to be inverse a lot, but I don't think when that happens, when we break lower, whether, you know, the precious metals will be inversely related this time around, because when you start to see that kind of damage, people don't care what asset class they own. They just want to get out of it. So it's not going to be a positive thing.
Yeah, Doc, when we see those liquidity events, it becomes a sell everything kind of market, and no sector is spared. You said dollar to donuts. That makes me think of the raging U.S. dollar we've seen lately and the high price of donuts and food, the high price of inflation. A lot of this is on the back of the Fed policy and the interest rate hikes. But we're in a bizarre environment where we're seeing a high dollar, but we're also seeing high inflation. It's like deflationary and inflationary at the same time. Very strange market. What do you make of the U.S. dollar? Is it getting close to topping out here in this parabolic move, or does it have further to go? And how might that affect the commodity sector?
Yeah, and what's bad about the dollar is that the dollar, if we close up here, well, it looks like where we are, is we've taken out previous highs, gone back over the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about 8 years or 7 years. And previous highs down around the early 2017 was 103.82. And the high at the beginning of 2020 was 103.96. And but we're going to close higher than their intra-month close. So that is not positive for those who wish to see a break in the dollar. But we're getting into overbought territory, but we may be up here for 2 or 3 months yet. I think the commodity area is starting to top out too. I think copper is showing some weakness. And if the Fed is really, if they really walk the talk, which I think they will this time for a while, of course, we don't know how long that's going to be. But I think that also is going to be an obtuse factor for commodities, and the dollar won't do that any favor.
Yeah, fair enough, Doc, and the dollar moving higher. We've also seen a bit of a bounce in bonds as well. Interest rates have essentially skyrocketed from, yes, very low levels. They're still at very low levels, but you look at the rate of change of where, let's say, the 10-year was, the 10-year just back in March opened at about 1.7%. We're up almost at 3% right now. That's a huge move just in 2 months. Also goes hand in hand with the Fed tightening. And now the Fed seems like most likely going through a 50 basis point hike just next week. What's your outlook for bonds and interest rates broadly?
I think the bond market is broken right now. And on the monthly, it's taken out some very important support areas. When you look at the 50-month moving average, simple moving average and the exponential moving average, it has closed significantly below that for the first time in years. And that tells you that we're starting a really reversal in this bond market that we haven't seen in years. And that should worry everybody. And I get the sense that once the Fed has to do what it does, they're going to have a hard time reversing all the damage that they're going to create. They've been jawboning so far, but now they're going to really show whether they mean what they've been saying. And I'm afraid they are. And they're going to stick with this until they cause a real crack in some market. But I'm afraid they're going to cause cracks in most of the markets. It's going to be housing market, bond market, stock market, commodity market. Commodities might not get hit as solidly because of the supply constraints and other things. But what they want to do is basically beat down demand, because really this inflation is demand pull from supply chain issues. and they have to beat down the consumer demand to see a real reversal in the rate of inflation. And I think they're going to get it by July because of their policies, not only their policies, but that's when the real inflation started back in July of 2021. And so the comparisons year over year are going to get better, I think, by July just on their own. And then through the damage they're going to create, it might even make them look a little bit better.
Yeah, Doc, it's interesting because that base effect year over year, it may show that the rate of change in inflation is slowing down because they were so high last summer, but prices will still be high. And so the last question I have is, you know, we hear a lot about inflation, we hear about stagflation, we hear about possible recession. Is it possible with, I mean, we just had a negative GDP quarter, which is not good. And if we keep that trend going, you know, are we in a stagflationary environment? Could that lead to a stagflationary recession if they keep this hiking policy up and do their 175 basis points that they want to get done by July? Could that take the wheels off the cart a little bit in the markets? And do you think that'd be enough pain for them to eventually reverse course?
I do. I think we could see them start to become mealy-mouthed possibly by August because I think they're going to start to realize the damage they inflicted by then. But it might be interesting that, and I think your assessment is right about a stagflationary recession. We're going to see a recession. I don't think of course, we've probably been in one for years, but it's been manipulated by easy money because we keep stealing from growth from the future through low interest rates. And so I think we're going to see somewhat of a stagflationary recession. But when they start to become mealy-mouthed, we might realize that inflation is still higher than they would like to see. It might not be below that 2% year over year. A range that they would like to see. It might be 2-3%, and they might start to back off then because they'll be possibly alarmed by that time by the impetus they've created as far as in these markets. So that's what I'm looking for. I think we're going to have to watch for how they speak by summer. I think that's what folks have to watch. And so that's what I'm going to be watching is how they talk, the talk come July and August timeframe.
Doc, wrap us up. Just a quick update then on what you're doing within your portfolio. I know you've been nibbling at a few metal stocks, but it also sounds like you think those could be going lower and offering some cheaper prices. Are you shorting the U.S. markets? Give us just a broad overview of your strategy right now.
I'm short the U.S. markets, and I've done well. In fact, I added to my shorts today, and because I'm anticipating May, because I think it could be a crucial month. And if we get below that 400 month moving average, exponential moving average on the monthly charts, that's going to be a very negative sign. So I am short the conventional markets. I'm nibbling on some of these explorers and companies that have just got crushed, companies that I think will stay in business, and some of the mid-tiers as well. I'm in no hurry here. I'm still very heavy in cash. Because I don't think there's going to be a V-shaped recovery of these stocks, especially these exploration stocks, anytime soon. So there's no hurry because there might be even a little bit more downside to some of them. So I just keep buying now. Every week I've started to purchase now, not in any volumes, but I'm going to continue to be doing that.
All right, Doc, always great chatting with you. We covered a lot in this two segments, but I think there is a lot to recap here. And remember, as much as we look individually at sectors, we need to understand that everything is down this month. And look, everything has actually been looking quite weak throughout the tail end of this month. There have been some actually decent sectors, but again, just the sell-off in the last couple of weeks, I think, caught some people a little off guard. Doc, thank you, as always, for your time, buddy. We'll chat, I'm sure, by the end of next month. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.